Welcome to Crown of Life Baptist Church.
My heart can sing when I pause to remember a heartache here is but a stepping stone along the path that's always winding upward. This troubled world is not my final home, but until then, my heart can go on singing. Until then, with joy I'll carry on. Until the day my eyes behold that city, until the day God calls me home. The things of earth will dim and lose their value if we recall they're borrowed for a while. And things of earth that cause this heart to tremble, remember there will only bring a smile. But until then, my heart can go on singing. Until then, with joy I'll carry on. Until the day my eyes behold that city, until the day God calls me home. Until the day my eyes behold that city, until the day God calls me home.
Good morning, Central Indiana. You're listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church, currently meeting at the Cambria Hotel Noblesville. We invite you to join our Sunday morning service at 10 o'clock, preparing hearts to embrace God's word and desiring his coming kingdom. God is calling sinners to the cross, and he is calling believers to the crown. Enjoy today's program with Pastor Greg DeZula. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life.
This morning, you are going to hear a message on a simple but yet sophisticated principle found in the Word of God. My sermon is entitled Unity in Plurality, Plurality in Unity. Unity means one or singular, whereas plurality means many or more than one. The Trinity of God is one of many perfect examples of this principle throughout the Scriptures. There are three distinctly different persons of the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, yet we believe in one God, three in one. This is an enigma or mystery of the divine being of God found in the Holy Scriptures. By understanding and embracing this truth, unity in plurality, plurality in unity, it significantly broadens our horizon in the interpretation of the Word of God. My message this morning could also be subtitled The Twofoldness of Divine Truth. The simplicity with yet the complexity of the Word of God only strengthens our resolve that the Holy Bible is divinely inspired or spoken. The Holy Spirit teaches us through the Apostle Peter, We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of men, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. One perfect example of the twofoldness of divine truth is found in the formation of the woman from the rib of Adam, and then God rejoins them together to become one flesh in holy matrimony. And then, through procreation, they have offspring that are a DNA replica of mom and dad. Yet they have their own individual identity, unique from their mother and father. This, again, is one of many examples that helps us broaden our understanding and interpretation of the Word of God. Many prophecies in Scriptures have a twofoldness, both a near prophecy and a far prophecy. Or, for example, one prophecy in Scripture will picture both advents of the Lord, His first coming and His second coming. God embeds His principles in the physical world, or sometimes I like to describe it as God stamps His divine truth into His physical creation. In Genesis 1:1, God says, "In the beginning," meaning God created time and He stamped His signature of the Trinity into it with the past, present, and future division of time. Well, the same can be said of the twofoldness of divine truth. Every atom of the physical world is either paired with another atom of the same element, or it is found in a chemical bond with a different atom to form a compound. No atom appears in nature singularly. Let me give you one other example. The New Testament speaks of gifts and prizes or rewards. The importance of rightly dividing the word of truth is rightly dividing passages that speak to gifts such as our eternal salvation versus passages that speak to the call of believers to strive to attain the prize, which is ruling and reigning with Jesus Christ in His millennial kingdom here on this earth. That is why we say on the Crown of Life Baptist Church website and on this radio program, God is calling sinners to the cross, and God is calling believers to the crown. We have to rightly divide what passages are speaking to what proposition. Enjoy the almost unlimited parallels found in the Word of God pertaining to this truth, unity in plurality, plurality in unity. If you missed an episode of this program or would like to re-review a past radio broadcast, please go to the Freedom 95 podcast page at freedom95.us/podcast or find past sermons on the Crown of Life Baptist Church YouTube channel and please hit the subscribe button. Unity in plurality, plurality in unity, part 9.
The Scriptures are clear, especially the New Testament, that there are two Advents. The second Advent has two stages, and we've talked about that in previous sermons, plus I talked about that last week. Furthermore, there are two resurrections and two deaths. We dealt with that last week, and we won't belabor that point again. The travail a woman experiences in labor is compared to the anguish it will take to bring about a remnant of Jewish believers during the Great Tribulation, otherwise known as the hour of temptation or Jacob's trouble. And we see these, or Daniel's 70th week. And those are some phrases that are found throughout the Scriptures. You find, we'll look at the term Great Tribulation in the book of Matthew, but the hour of temptation comes from Revelation chapter 3. Jacob's trouble, we see that in Jeremiah chapter 30. And then Daniel's 70th week is in Daniel chapter 9, verse 27. Now, Micah chapter 4, verse 10, it says, "Be in pain and labor to bring forth, O daughter of Zion, like a woman in travail." There's that word "like." It means it's going to cost you something. You're going to suffer. When I got saved, my life changed. It cost me something. All my old friends and family members who I didn't buddy up with anymore and meet or drink with them at family gatherings. And my buddies, I didn't go to the bars with them anymore. I didn't discuss the same things. I was interested in the things of the Lord, and I wanted to share that with them. And you want to put a death a nail in a coffin or in a conversation and end the conversation real quickly. Start talking religion. Start talking about Christ. They don't want to hear it. I'm excited about Christ, learning about the Lord Jesus Christ, telling people about my salvation, and my friends didn't want to hear it. So the meaning, going back to the meaning of Micah 5:3, is that from the rejection of Christ at his first coming, Jehovah will give Israel up till the believing remnant appears just before his second coming, because Micah doesn't see the Gentile church. He just sees Israel's rejection. They don't see all the Gentiles that come up. This is talking about Israel. And so Israel will give up Jehovah. They will turn away from him. They will reject him. And there will be a believing remnant at the end times. There is a twofold travail of Israel in the tribulation period. The 144,000 witnesses at the front of the 7-year tribulation period, and the believing remnant that is birthed after the abomination of desolation. Now, for some of you, I'm throwing out terms that you're not familiar with, but there's 144,000 Jewish witnesses, 12,000 from each tribe, that are going to come to a saving knowledge of Christ. They're going to be men, the Bible says, that remain virgins. They don't have wives. They will go throughout the earth evangelizing, converting Jew and Gentile, but they will be slaughtered. We discover them in Revelation chapter 7. By the time Revelation 14 comes around, they're before the throne of God. They have been martyred for their faith. But they will go out and propagate the gospel. They will be the missionaries during the front part of the tribulation that will take place on the earth. And then the abomination of desolation, that's when the Antichrist will declare himself in the temple in Jerusalem, declare himself to be God. He will say, "I'm God." And that's called the abomination of desolation. And Israel is told, "You better flee." When you see that happen, there's going to be a peace agreement first. 7-year peace agreement that the Antichrist will sign. But in the midst of the peace agreement, he's going to come to the temple and says, "Now I'm your God." He's going to declare himself to be God. And that's called the abomination of desolation. The Bible says to the Jews, when you see that happen, you better flee to the wilderness. Hightail it out. Don't go home to go get your Gucci shoes. Okay? Don't go home to get your iPad. You know, don't go home to get your computer. Don't go home. Hightail it out. If you're out in the fields, hightail it out of here, out of Jerusalem. If you're working on the roof, come down and get going. Start running, because many are going to be killed. They're not going to listen to that warning. But those who have heard that warning and abide it, they're going to hightail it out. Now, some believe in your prophecy teachers. I think I hold to this, that they're going to the Red Rock city of Petra. And it's south of the Dead Sea. And they're going to hide. It's a naturally fortified cliff of rocks that they will hide in and will be protected in. The Jews will be protected in by God. God will protect them. Just as God, as we're studying Elijah in our Bible study, just as God fed Elijah during the famine, during the drought, God's going to feed the Israelites that flee to that Red Rock city of Petra. So it is rarely noticed that there are two great tribulations spoken of in the Word of God. First, the age-long trial of the church, which is great in duration. That's the last 2,000 years. Now, in our eyes, in our little spectrum, we have seen the church has been pretty comfortable, right? In America, the church has been pretty comfortable to live in America. The church hasn't, we haven't seen that kind of persecution. But there has been great persecution of the Lord's church. The John chapter 16, verse 33, in your notes there. And we should be in page, you should be on your page 6. Says, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." So you're going to have tribulation. He's telling all the believers, especially the Gentile believers, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Again, we see it in Acts. You don't have this, but you can write this reference down, Acts 14:22. The Apostle Paul, exhorting the church to continue in the faith, said that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. So there's going to be a lot of suffering. And like I said, there's already suffering when we take stands on particular issues. In the scriptures, there have been churches have ostracized different ones for taking a stand on a particular doctrine or truth found in the Word of God. Revelation 12. All right, now you're going to need to turn your Bibles to Revelation chapter 12. You're going to see something here. And it took me, many years to really grasp this understanding. Okay, remember that key word I told you about, a remnant. A remnant, very important. Okay, look at verse 1. "And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed." Now, John the Revelator, Apostle John, he's seeing visions. Okay, he's seeing things in the sky. "And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth." Okay, we today use the word laboring in birth. "And pain to be delivered." Now, a lot of times our minds start switching, oh, this has got to be Mary. And if you have Bibles, your Bibles most likely will say this is Mary or Israel. All right. It says, "travailing in birth and pain to be delivered." But Mary wasn't clothed in heaven. And you also have to understand the book of Revelation is a book of everything that took place after the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. So how could this be talking about Mary? And especially chapter 12 is talking about everything that takes place after the church age, after the rapture. This is now going into the tribulation. And she being with child cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. And then we see in verse 3, and there appeared another wonder in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman which was ready to be delivered for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth, verse 5, and she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. And it says, and the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. Now, this gets very complicated. But the child is not talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's talking about a remnant of believers who suffer tribulation in this earth and are delivered, are birthed, that remnant. The woman is the New Jerusalem because she's in heaven. And you know what the Bible tells us? You can write this down and look it up. Galatians 4:26. The Bible says the Jerusalem, but Jerusalem which is above is free, which is the mother of us all. Remember I talked about last week that heavenly city. There's two Jerusalems. There's the earthly Jerusalem, and there's a heavenly Jerusalem. Okay? Again, God's thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. He thinks on many different planes. But birthing a remnant, because this remnant will become rulers with Christ and rule with him with a rod of iron, it tells us. The child is a remnant. That's where we saw in Malachi chapter 5. If we go back there real quickly, it says, therefore will he give them up until the time that she which travaileth hath brought forth. Then the remnant of his brethren shall return unto the children of Israel. That it's a remnant. The woman here is a city. It's the New Jerusalem in heaven. And then the woman fled unto the wilderness where the believing Jews who are going to be the remnant of the Jews are going to flee into the wilderness because of the abomination of desolations. And then verse 7, and there was a war in heaven. But I want you to see there this child here, this laboring, bringing forth a child is speaking of a remnant in the scriptures. Very key, very important. And it took me a long time to interpret that and understand that. And so you have a Gentile bride and you have a Jewish bride. You have those who are going to get converted during the tribulation period. And once the rapture occurs, all the focus is taken off of the church and put on the Jews, Israel. Because everything now comes back to what they call Daniel's 70th week. Everything comes back to looking at Israel and what's going to happen with Israel and Israel's conversion. All the eyes of heaven and all the eyes of the world are on Jerusalem, on Israel. And you know, there's a feather in the cap of these presidents who try to draw peace and sign peace agreements in the Middle East and get the Palestinians and Saudi Arabia and Iran and Iraq and other countries to have some kind of peace agreement with Israel. That has been going on almost my whole lifetime, as long as I've lived. And you too. As long as we've lived, they've tried to bring peace in that region. And so the focus will be on Israel. So if you don't understand that, I understand. Give me a call and I'll help you walk through it again. Because I'm trying my best to piece it together, but I understand because it's taken me a long time and to really understand it and digest it and get it processed in my mind. The more familiar Great Tribulation, the 70th week of Daniel 9, that's Daniel chapter 9, is still future. It will be great in intensity, but short in duration. Now you read through the book of Revelation and you read about the seven seals and the seven vials and the seven trumpets and the woes and all these things that are going to take place on the earth. It's going to be a hard time. Now the believers during that time, they may not see the curses that God brings on the earth, but they're going to see the curse of man upon them. They're going to be beheaded for not taking the mark of the beast.
You've been listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church. Join us every Sunday morning here on Freedom 95 at 7:30 and Sunday service at 10 a.m. Currently meeting at the Cambria Hotel, 13500 Tegler Drive, Noblesville, where you will hear the hard-hitting truths found in the Word of God, unabashedly proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ and His coming kingdom from the inerrant and infallible King James Bible, the true voice of freedom. Please join us again next week in person and right here on Freedom 95.